You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in the windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man.
All right, the other night, I go back now. Yeah, if you can't imagine worse timing for the Red Sox to win the World Series, they do it on, what, Saturday? Yeah, they do it Saturday night. Sunday morning's a marathon. Now, I'll take you back to 2004 and my experience in Iraq. So, my experience in Iraq in the summer of 2004 to the fall, the Sergeant Major Bell from Boston, right? The Assistant Division Commander, you know, General Kelly from Boston. The Chief of Staff, Colonel Dunford from Boston. So, mercifully, General Kelly rotates home, I want to say July, August time frame. He's replaced by Brigadier General Dunford, who got promoted during the summer. So Dunford becomes the Assistant Division Commander. Replacing General Mattis is a Yankee fan, General Natonski. So when the Red Sox beat the Yankees and they go on to win their first World Series, it was just, it was horrible. Honestly, it was horrible. So the marathon, morning of the marathon, I see the Commandant hanging out with him, and then we go up towards the finish line, and who do I see? I see General Dunford, and he looks at me with his big smile on his face, and I said, "We're not talking about it." And he said, "Of course we're not, Mac. Why do we talk about the Red Sox winning another World Series today?" And he was laughing. And then when Kelly, listen to this. So no, they don't win the World Series till Sunday night, right? Yeah. So they hadn't won yet, but when I saw Dunford, I said, "We're not talking about it." He said, "Okay." At midnight, after they won on the East Coast, I get an email from General Kelly. Two words: "Go Sox." So I responded something like, "You would think a man with your problems in your current position and the things you have on your plate would have better things to do than torment a lowly subordinate." let me give you my honest, the Red Sox, what an incredible run, man. They beat two teams that had won 100 games in the playoffs. That's amazing. And let me tell you what was even more amazing about it. What was more amazing is that all year they're led by Mookie Betts. Okay. They're led by the shortstop Xander Bogaerts, Andrew Benintendi, and J.D. Martinez. That is the core of the Red Sox. And then Chris Sale, obviously off the mound, is the pitcher. In the playoffs, okay, in the playoffs, they're led by their number 8 or 9 hitter, Jackie Bradley Jr. He drives in every run with two outs. It's like the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Every time. Behind him is a guy named Devers, Rafael Devers, third baseman. And And it's absolutely, positively amazing to watch. Beavers, this guy, Steve Pierce, the right-handed backup first baseman, they get in the middle of the year. He's a World Series MVP. He's not even on the team in July, until they get him in July or August. These guys carry the Red Sox. David Price has never won a playoff game. And this year, he wins two. I thought he should have been the World Series MVP. My own opinion. He reinvents himself. And you know what? Good for him, because he's been a great pitcher in Major League Baseball. And he's one of those guys who, can you imagine 0-10? At least Clayton Kershaw, who hasn't had great success in the playoffs, he's about like 5-5 or some shit like that. But it's a whole different, and to watch it every night, if you're a baseball fan, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. just hit another home run. Like, what happened, man? Did the reverse, did the earth, right, rotation spin in counterclockwise? What happened? It was absolutely, positively amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. And so, and again, but on a nightly basis, it was somebody else. It wasn't their marquee guys. And you just sat and watched and said, they're magical. They're magical. And they have a closer. I don't know that in the last how many different appearances, he's given up runs and been hit in every inning that he's come in. Going back to the Yankee series when Gary Sanchez hit that one to the warning track. And so, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been amazing to watch. Here's the ninth inning.
Another 0-2 pitch coming. Here it is. And he swings and misses, and a pitch in the dirt picked up by Christian. Fires to first. Out. Here's the 3-2 again. And a swing and a miss. A terrible swing and a slider. He was all tied up. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frank Lee, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with 4 World Championships. Can you believe it? The Boston Red Sox.
How about that? Yeah, if you have friends that are from Massachusetts, you're screwed, man, because they are drunk on it. I got an email or text message. Wait, I got to find this thing that Montana man sent me. Wait a minute, Montana man, Boston title since 2001. The Red Sox, 2004, 2007, 2013, 2018. The Patriots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Celtics have won, and the Bruins have won. So that's what? World Championships in Boston since 2001. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 9, 10, 11. Almost one a year. I mean, it's a little bit short of that, but what a run. The Patriots thing will end when Brady goes. He's just exceptional. And the coach, when Brady leaves, you know, he'll probably leave too. I've had enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not starting over somebody else. Although it would be interesting to see if, as an institution, they can sustain it. But the NFL is a quarterback-centric league, and he is by far the best. And nobody else does it like Tom Brady does it. And the Patriots, but yeah, they're amazing. Go back to the Yankee series. I mean, the American League, I would argue, has better teams, more top tier teams in it. And the Red Sox beat all of them. Cleveland made Cleveland look bad in their games. Beat the Yankees 3-1. We're playing New York in the locker room. after their game Sunday night. Nice, right? And then beat Houston. And I thought Houston would beat them. Houston had in theory resolved their bullpen issues, and they had the top bullpen in the American League. They had three starters, you know, that had been lights out, and the Red Sox beat them. And again, they didn't beat them with Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, is it Adam Vinatieri, and Xander Bogaert blowing it up. Jackie Bradley Jr. and these other guys blew it up, and David Price right in the middle out of all of it. I'll tell you, one of the things that I think is interesting about the whole thing is what you saw consistently was the Red Sox go for it. I mean, closing out the game in Game 5 was the guy who was supposed to start Game 6, Chris Sale. But when you have them down, don't be afraid to stick it through their heart. Don't be afraid to stick it through their heart. And the Red Sox weren't afraid to do that. Conversely, the Dodgers, guys aren't available. You know, I mean, it seemed like everybody on the Red Sox was available. And the Dodgers, yeah, they had better guys that weren't available. What? And let me tell you, they're having a meltdown out here. 2 years in a row. And it's real interesting. The whole analytic statistical body, the lineup that got put out for the Dodgers in Game 5 was a B-team spring training lineup. But the analytics guys said that's evidently what they should do. I don't understand the whole analytics thing. The guy in Chicago is a big analytics guy. But you don't see as many weird permutations in Chicago as you do in Los Angeles. The guy in Houston who won last year, he's a big analytics guy, right? But you don't see the crazy combination. They have the same seven guys who roll out there every night and play. In Dodger Town, you see these goofy mixes all the time, and they can't seem to win, even in spite of having a pretty good team. But, I mean, the Red Sox, I would tell you, magical all year long. Magical, magical, magical. They played well. And then in the playoffs, you know, guys who, you know, who weren't supposed to carry that team carried that team. And a guy who hadn't won a game in the World Series wins two. So you can't script it. If you scripted it, you certainly would not have scripted it that way. But what you need to win is you need timely hitting. You need guys who step up and do things. And the Red Sox got that in spades. So a magical run. And I will tell you, at the center of it is their rookie manager, Alex Cora. Alex Cora. And so and you get all the goodwill in your first year as a manager until you start crossing paths with people and you have those things. He looks like he's very, very comfortable in that position. But winning will do that. It all's good when you win. It's once you blow it a few times and all of that, then you know, kind of the shine comes off the paint job a little bit. But we'll see what he has. But wow. And again, if you like theater, baseball, high drama, pitch by pitch, the way it goes. So I'm a huge fan of it. But baseball season is now over. I'll tell you the other a few interesting storylines out of that. Manny Machado, the toast of baseball, right? Leaving Baltimore. And baseball got a chance to see a lot of him in the playoffs. And there wasn't one bit of it that was impressive. What are you going to pay for that? What are you going to pay for that? Response? Didn't seem to be able to do it under a lot of pressure. And even worse than that, did stupid stuff both in the Milwaukee series and in the Red Sox series. You know, taunting the crowd and then not being able to back it up. So he did not do himself any favors. I'd be curious to see how much people pay him. I heard somebody talking last night that he probably lost about, during that series, somebody estimated he lost between $25 million and $40 million based on what somebody would pay him over the course of a 7 or 8 year contract. That it would probably be in the area of $4 to $5 million a year he lost. So instead of getting $26 million, he'll get $21 million a year for 7 years or something like that. And they said it's not insignificant what he did to his reputation. So, but the Red Sox, man, unbelievable. That'll do it here. Don't touch that dial. Interesting show today. Alex Hollings. I'm not sold that, you know, this is the eclipse of, you know, China rising. China can't have open dialogue. Companies like Google, how do they justify their work? It's unbelievable. I said Google. Companies like Google. Guess what happened? My phone went off. Started listening to me. Yeah, what's going to happen? Something's going to fly into the house here pretty soon. But I'm not sold. I don't think that. I think China, you know, is a totalitarian state. And it cuts deals for you with you that puts you as a debtor to them. And I'm curious to see how it all plays out. And I think they have a window of opportunity where people are running to do business with them. And then that will itself peter out. China steals technology like nobody. And so I don't, you know, so then they get sideways with the company. What do they tell the company? Hey, go pound sand. We don't need you. We have your partner here that has all your technology, that has all the blueprints. Go the fuck away. Yeah, well done, Boeing. Well done, Google. Well done, all those companies. So I'm not, if you can't tell, I'm not sold on, you know, China rising. Yeah, they'll rise. There'll be a totalitarian state, but is anybody comfortable with China possibly having a lead role in the International Monetary Fund? China having a lead role in the United Nations? So I'm not sold on any of that. In case you can't tell. Yeah, and what did Chet Huntley used to say? No, that was Walter Cronkite, right? And that's the way it is. Yeah, and that's the way it is. Sounds a little different when I say it. Yeah, and that's the way it is. All right, welcome home to everybody. Jack and Joe were fired up. Yeah, when I came bombing through the doors last night, they were gassed up. He's back! We thought he left forever. Right, no matter how, that's why it's worth having a dog. No, or two. No matter how bad your day is, they always love you. So, anyway, welcome home to everybody. I would be remiss if I didn't once again thank Ashley Toplosky. Yeah, a lot of consonants in that name. She's a media events coordinator for the Marine Corps Marathon. Uh-oh. Yahoo's reporting Whitey Bulger found dead in prison. And the guy with the funny quote, somebody said, did Rick Nellis really say that? I said, yeah. He saw me. And again, you saw me talking, I think it was General Kelly. And we were laughing, and I was telling him a funny story about something we did. And he said, I forgot about that, Mac. He saw the baseball that I gave him in Ramadi. He said that he had people sign that he wanted to remember. He said, you know, it's still in my office. I said, it's a therapy device. That's why I got them for everybody. He said, it was really cool. But anyway, yeah, Nellis came up to me afterwards, and I was eating something in the VIP tent because they have good chow there. And he says, if I knew you knew all those people, man, I'd have been a lot more supportive. He really did say that. It was funny. He's a good guy, though. Let me tell you, you talk about a guy who's, like, on the go. You know, when they shut down the finish line, when the last runners came across, right, he's there with his walkie-talkie. He's directing the garbage trucks that were picking garbage up along the way. They give tons of clothing that gets discarded at the starting line. So runners, they get out of their car and get off the metro and stuff like that with blankets around them. They'll buy or bring an old pair of sweats. And then when they get ready to run, they take them off and they throw them on the ground. Or they don't throw them on the ground, they throw them off to the side. And then the race comes and picks it all up and takes it down to Goodwill or Salvation Army, who distributes, like, I don't know how many tons of clothing that they pick up from 30,000 runners. So, yeah, so the last runner goes by, and here's Nellis, right? These trucks are coming up with all the stuff, garbage they picked up, and he's talking to them, right? And they're making sure everything goes right. Lieutenants are working. And the funny part was he goes, you know, Matt, guess what we added this year? I said, what? He said, an end of marathon party. I said, congratulations. He started laughing. He said, no, it'll be a good thing, but I'll probably fall asleep right in the middle of it. I said, you could just curl up in a ball on the floor. He said, I might do that. So anyway, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. As I said, nice to be home. All Marine Radio on a Tuesday. Over and out.